Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drives. And yes, there is plenty to dive into today, and we will begin on the national sports front, and there is some trouble brewing in Michigan State. Now, obviously, the Michigan State athletics program has been under some scrutiny as of late with everything that has happened with Larry Nassar and the United States gymnastics program. It's been just a really troubling week for Michigan State, and now their issues go well beyond this particular topic. It is being reported by multiple sources that Michigan State's issues with reporting sexual assault go well beyond the Larry Nassar scandal. And in fact, just 2 hours after Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis resigned earlier today, ESPN's Outside the Lines provided the reason behind the immediacy of his rushed press conference, detailing a report revealing that under his rule, athletic department officials and sporting coaches routinely shirked their Title IX reporting duties and fostered an environment for men's basketball and football teams that rarely punished responsible abusers. Did you get all that? A mess right now at Michigan State. It's been reported from multiple outlets, including Deadspin and Bleacher Report, and of course ESPN. Hollis's resignation came 2 days after Outside the Lines reached out to a university spokesperson to request comment from the athletic department's leadership. It's a mess right now in Michigan State, to say the least. Mark D'Antonio looks like he may be on his way out of Michigan State. I know there's also some reports, early reports, saying that potentially the basketball program could be in trouble, and Tom Izzo may be stepping away from the program here relatively soon as well. A very bad look for Michigan State.
Yeah, it seems like every information that's coming out now that Michigan State has had a long pattern of denial, inaction, and suppressing info about the allegations of sexual assault and violence. So it's not a good look for Michigan State.
It's something that's still early on in the development, and of course, as more information comes out, we'll talk about it in the next couple of days. But boy, it's not a good look for Michigan State, and again, it goes well beyond the whole Larry Nassar situation, which again, Tom Izzo got himself in some trouble by making a couple of stupid comments, and Nassar's affiliation with Michigan State Athletics as well, so it hasn't been a good look for them. We'll talk more about that in the coming days, again, as more information comes out. Today, here on Drive Time Sports, I want to dive back into the world of baseball, because yesterday, when we got off of the air, we found out that the Milwaukee Brewers signed Lorenzo Cain to a massive five-year, was it a five-year, $80 million deal, I believe is what the contract was. And then they also grabbed an individual that you were hoping the Cincinnati Reds would land as the Miami Marlins continue their fire sell.
Yes, I wanted the Reds to get Christian Yelich. He goes to the Brewers, and as a Reds fan, I'm not happy about that.
He goes to the Brewers, and now the NL Central looks like it's a three-pony race. I love the Brewers. I like the Brewers going into the season as currently constructed. I thought that they were going to be a fun team next season. And remember, you and I ripped the Brewers for not making any moves at the deadline this year because they were so close in that Central Division to begin with. And they did nothing at the trade deadline. Now in the offseason, in the matter of 24 hours, they've beefed up their offense drastically. And I think it's fair to say that the Brewers should be mentioned in the same conversation as the Cubs and Cardinals here at the end of January, because they're not done yet. No. There's still the idea that maybe they could land a Yu Darvish or a Jake Arrieta. I don't think the Brewers are going anywhere anytime soon as far as just settling down now that we're still in the offseason. I think they make a couple of more moves, and I think it's a team to watch in the Central.
There's a move that I think Milwaukee should make because they're crowded at the outfield position with the talent they have. Call up Tampa Bay. We know that Chris Archer is on the block, and see if you can get Chris Archer.
Chris Archer, to me, is a guy that can help out so many teams.
Yes. Yeah. I think Milwaukee should go try to get this guy because you're in contention now with the Cubs. If you're the Brewers, you get Chris Archer. I think you're in business.
After the move they pulled yesterday, and they get Yelich for basically nothing. They didn't give up a whole lot to get him.
No.
They really didn't. So based on the moves that the Brewers have made over the past 24 hours, go all in, go get Yu Darvish, see if you can pull a maneuver for Chris Archer. I'm fine with that. But now it's time to go all in. You can't make these moves and stay pat. This has to be, for every action, there's a reaction. You got to make sure that you're a step ahead of the Cubs or Cardinals at this point.
Yeah, you have to be a step ahead of those two.
Go all in.
And yeah, you might as well at this point because you've acquired enough pieces where you can move them around and go out and get one of those players. And they have to go out and get some starting pitching now.
Now, Kane is a funny topic because remember, he started with the Brewers, right?
Yes, he did.
He was a part of the Greinke deal that sent him over to Kansas City to begin with. So now he's back where it all started. It has come full circle. And again, I like this Brewers team. I think they're going to be really, really fun to watch next season. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball on the show today. We're going to be joined by Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340. Great friend of mine, the host of First Sports, which you can listen to every morning. He always talks some Major League Baseball with us. We're going to also talk Hall of Fame as well. You and I don't agree with Barry Bonds. I know you think Barry should be in. I don't believe Barry should be in. I think it's he cheated. I think it's plain and simple. Steve has an interesting take on this as well, and I'm looking forward to his view on if reported steroid users should be in. And I know that this was the topic that we got on yesterday, that Barry Bonds was never tested positive. But he had an opportunity under oath to say, look, I never did it, and he didn't do it. To me, that's a guilty plea. At the same time, Roger Clemens is in the same boat. I get the topic. It's touchy. People love this topic when it comes to baseball as well, right? I mean, this is hot stuff. This is Pete Rose all over again. People love this conversation.
Yeah, but we have issues with people that are in the Hall of Fame that have been speculated to use PEDs, and they're in, so we have to either keep them all out or they're all in.
Well, you can't really go back in time and remove someone from the Hall of Fame. I guess you can do that, but I mean, you can prevent those from getting in today that have done wrong.
Sure, but it's hypocritical.
To an extent it is. I mean, would I vote for Barry Bonds? No, I wouldn't vote for Barry Bonds. I wouldn't vote for Roger Clemens.
I think he's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen.
Yeah, but he cheated.
Yeah.
But he cheated. You know me, I love Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
Manny Ramirez
should be in the Hall of Fame.
I would not vote for Manny. You know I love Manny Ramirez. I have Manny Ramirez memorabilia hanging up in my basement. I love Manny Ramirez. I'm not voting for that guy. I'm not doing it. Now, I'll tell you the one interesting, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show, the one interesting player that I think could be the catalyst to get all these guys in, it's Alex Rodriguez. And the reason I bring Alex Rodriguez up is because he has done so much to change his image that I think A-Rod could be the guy that gets in, because all it's going to take is one to get in. If one gets in, they're all going to get in eventually. I think you look to A-Rod because he's likable once again. Barry Bonds was never liked.
No, he wasn't.
He still isn't liked today. Roger Clemens, no one likes Roger Clemens.
And Curt Schilling's just a whack job, but
you see what I'm saying? It takes someone that has done hardcore image repair in the sense of A-Rod to try to open up the gates for guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Manny Ramirez. If you put one in, then you have to put the rest of them in.
Yeah, and Alex
that's a fact.
And Alex Rodriguez now with Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, when he's sitting around with all these writers and stuff, and he's smoozing with them, and he's going to be a likable guy, they're going to fall in love with him.
He's the guy.
And that's going to help his reputation. And eventually, Alex Rodriguez, I think, gets in.
If he gets in, Barry gets in.
Yeah, and
I think
then
it's that simple. Barry gets in, A-Rod gets in.
They have to.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the schedule tonight in the NBA. We'll begin at the 5 o'clock hour. We get Atlanta at the Hornets. The Cavs will play host to the Pacers. The Jazz tonight on the road to take on the Toronto Raptors. We get the Lakers at the Bulls at 6 p.m. Memphis plays host to the Clippers. That's also in the 6 o'clock hour, along with Brooklyn at Milwaukee. And the Pelicans hosting the Houston Rockets. 6:30 tonight, Portland at Dallas, Philadelphia at San Antonio. The Nightcaps, an early one, New York at Phoenix at 7 p.m. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We're going to be joined by Coach Vando with the USU Eastern Eagles basketball squad when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're going to talk junior college basketball here on the Coach's Corner today. Gearing up for tomorrow night's matchup, USU Eastern returns to the court of the BDAC as they take on the Salt Lake Community College Bruins. Last night, USU Eastern topped Colorado Northwestern 82-71. They are now sitting 2-3 in region play. And joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have both Coach Vando and Coach Jones. First off, guys, a pleasure to get you in the studio today. Thank you for taking the time again.
Well, thank you so much. It's always fun to be coming over here.
Great to be here, Jordan.
Yeah, always look forward to the conversation, guys. Coach, let's start by talking about last night's win, Colorado. It's always I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's a dreaded road trip to go to Colorado. Nobody likes to go play in Rangeley. If Rangeley does have anything in their favor, it is a home court advantage because it's a very different gym. Yet you guys went on the road. You earned your second victory of the conference season. More importantly, you earned the season series win now over Colorado as well.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, they came, you know, when they played it with us, they came with so confidence because, you know, the game before they beat Snow. And this gave them the whole week to prepare, you know, play us. So, like, and every time, like you said, you know, that gym is different. Every time that they play over there, they play with so much confidence. And we had a plan that, you know, since the beginning, you know, we told the guys, you know, don't give them any, confidence. Be there, you know, when they catch the ball. Don't let them, you know, don't give them a game. So I think we did a pretty good job, you know, at the first half, playing defense on them. You know, like they didn't have any run or any, some like a play that, you know, they could, you know, like get fired in the game, you know, like we control them, and then we always been, you know, in front of, you know, leading the score, and you know, make them, you know, play, you know, not that, you know, they expect to, you know, I think they expect that we went over there and then they start, you know, like the game in on fire, and we stayed flat, but you know, I think we did a great job especially on defense last night.
You did what you had to do to get the win. I mean, defensively in the first half, we're down to the final 6 minutes. I think the score was 21-17, if I remember right, with about 6 minutes to play in the first half. So, I mean, defensively, you guys were able to limit what they wanted to do on the offensive side of the ball for the majority of the ball game.
Oh yeah, and then the kids did a great job, especially like a. One thing is, you know, is happening right now, Jordan. Every game we have some kids come off the bench and play good for us. So last night was Augie. So he played, I think, 19 minutes and scored, you know, 14 points. So he grabbed like 8 rebounds. So he did great for us, you know, especially inside. He scored in transition. He got 5 blocks. You know, we had a tough time, you know, at the beginning on their guards coming in the paint and scoring on us. Augie got, you know, put a presence, you know, over there and blocked, you know, 5 shots. So, and then after that, the guards didn't come, you know, that much. So, and then the other guy, you know, who did good for us, Jeff Young, you know, the point guard, he was great. You know, play really good defense on their point guard, you know, give some assist. That's the thing that, you know, I like it, our kids. You know, like, they don't care. They don't fight for be the man. But, you know, every night we can expect the unexpected. Like, I say, man, you know, like me, we'll always talk, you know, each other. I said, man, you know, we need somebody who step up, like, tonight. And always, you know, happen. And that's the, you know, I really enjoy this group because, you know, if it was another group, like, you know, when you don't play that much, you have the tendency that, oh, I'm not gonna play, you know, I'm not gonna bring it. These kids being playing hard and they practice hard, even if they don't play that much, but they bring in every single day. So that's, you know, make me and Coach Ray, we go over there for practice and enjoy it.
Coach Jones, this is something that maybe you don't pay that much attention to, I guess, at this stage in the game. See, as a media member, I'm always looking ahead. You got to take it one game at a time. I don't have to do that. But second win is huge in conference play because right now, we can't forget, Snow lost to Colorado. And so you guys right now would be sitting third in the conference standings. And the way the conference is set up, again, having an odd number of teams and just five teams, if you stay out of that four spot or that five spot, you get a bye in the first round. Is that something that you guys think about? I mean, looking at the standings today, is that the goal, avoid that first round matchup?
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about that in film sessions. We've talked about that at practice. I mean, above all, you want to win every game, obviously, but you know, the realism of the season sets in, you're usually not going to do that. But if we can get that first bye week and get an instant into the, you know, semifinal area, you know, I mean, that's big for us, you know. So they go out and compete. They, like I think we talked about last time, they know the weight of every game. You know, it's very important. Like you said, Snow just lost, you know, and we played them tough. CNCC, we got the better of them. And so we just have to try to go get slick and get CSI, you know, and I think that's very doable for us.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Vando and Coach Jones of the USU Eastern men's squad. Coach Jones, I'm going to stick with you here for a moment. If you go back and you watch the tape from that first contest with Salt Lake, triple overtime loss, Nima was fantastic in that game, really pushed the offense. You guys had an opportunity to win that game multiple times before going into the triple overtime. What are some of the things that stand out to you now that you go back and you watch that video as we gear up for Salt Lake's matchup tomorrow that you guys will be able to implement and hopefully this time get a victory?
I think a lot of it stays the same. The thing is, it's something we told them before. You don't break a record every game. And I mean, though we are capable of hitting a lot of threes, it's something that we can't be dependent upon. We made a lot of mistakes that game that can be cleared up, some defensive lapses that have to be fixed. And I think it's just attention to detail. Slick's going to come with their game plan. I'm sure it's not going to change much other than don't let Nima and Chris shoot a lot of threes. You know, and it's pretty predictable at the end of the day. But, you know, it's something where you can't expect to hit, you know, 20 threes. You know, it's not that can't be your game plan, because once that happens, if it doesn't happen, you don't have anything to back up on. But it's going to come down to, for us, I think it's going to come down to defense and running, which is how we play well. But it always starts defense first, defense, then run, defense, rebound, run. And then that's when we're at our best. And I think that's going to be our game plan from here till our last game.
Salt Lake undefeated in conference play. And I know that as Coach Jones just alluded to here, Coach Vando, that you know, they're going to focus on Nima. They're going to focus on Chris. But at the same time, Nima hasn't really come close to duplicating that performance in that first conference game. I don't think that's an indictment on him. I mean, that was a very special, special game that he had against Salt Lake. But at the same time, is that fresh? Is that has to be fresh in Salt Lake's mind, right? That Nima did this the last go-around. Even though he hasn't done it in the four games since, he still was extremely special one night against his team. They know that.
Oh, my God, yeah. So that night, you know, like Nima was so confident. Like I said, you know, he almost shot, you know, from the half court. But, you know, like, you know, Coach Jones said, you know, probably they're going to have a game plan to shut down our shooters, especially Chris and Nima. But we got to, you know, play through, you know, they're very, you know, athletic. They can, you know, they're bigs, you know, they have a one rim protector. But like I said, Augie's been playing really, really good. You know, he's very capable to catch an inside, bang people and go score. We have Rafael that, you know, like that kid is fantastic. Like, you know, like last night, we could have seen him in the game, and maybe, you know, like, because Nima shoot, you know, he's a 3-point shooter, and Chris have all the attention, and suddenly have Rafael, and I look at his stats and I say, man, he scored 21 points. So how? Like, we can see that, right? But that's the guy that, you know, can surprise them, because, you know, he's a guard who can defend bigs, and he can shoot threes too. So If they concentrate their effort, you know, Nima and Chris, I think Rafael can step up for us. Augie can step up for us. I think Landon can, you know, he's a guy who can, you know, bring in energy from the bench and score inside. It's not gonna be easy, but we know, like, you know, we can beat them, and they know that, you know, like, if they don't bring, you know, their game, you know, we you know, we can win. So I think it's gonna be a tough game, but, you know, who gonna be there? I hope that, you know, it's gonna have a nice game. Two great teams. I think, you know, Salt Lake is ranking number 4 in the nation. So I hope, you know, that our kids, you know, we want to beat them so bad, you know. And then, like, one thing that we've been talking to them, you know, last game we did a lot of, you know, unnecessary fouls that we put them on the free throw line, and they shot 65 free
right.
throws.
Yeah.
So, like, we got to control that, too. But like I said, the biggest, you know, thing for us, the kids are very, very motivated to play them again. And, you know, let's see what, you know, what happened.
Definitely looking forward to the game tomorrow night. Before I let you go, I'm going to go back to Coach Jones here for a moment. Coach Vando is used to this. He's been doing this now for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. The non-conference schedule is so brutal. I mean, you're playing 3 games in 3 days, 4 games in 4 days. What's the freshness like mentally for this team and physically as well? Only playing 2 games a week now. Big difference to what we had for, you know, 2, 3 months to start off the season.
I mean, from a coach's standpoint, I mean, I figure it's a lot fresher than the non-conference to an extent. But, I mean, the mental weighing and the physical, you know, the physicality of the game from, you know, whenever we started preseason in August to now, your body naturally takes a beating. And then our practices are kind of pretty good. You know, they can be brutal, you know, and if they don't play, they'll run, you know, I mean. So physically, they definitely a little bit worn down. But, I mean, it's up. We treat them as professionals. You know, Vando played professional for a long time. I played for a little bit. And it's about taking care of your bodies, you know. I mean, if your guy that needs 8 hours sleep, you go get 8 hours sleep. If you need to ice bath every day, you got to go ice bath every day. If you need ice packs, if you need massage, if you need training, we got Zach and Jeff's who do a great job, you know. So right now, I think that their bodies are a little banged up, you know, but I think mentally they're ready for the next game every time because they have that little break from Sunday to Wednesday, you know, to recharge and get remotivated. And then even from Thursday to Saturday, you know, they have that same energy to be ready to come and compete again.
Well, coaches, I definitely appreciate you once again taking out the time to come down here to the studio and talk a little bit about the basketball program and as we gear up for tomorrow night's contest. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Always a fun conversation.
No, thank you for having us over here, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan. Hey, don't miss Jordan in a suit tomorrow. He's wearing pink and a tie. You're going to want to see that.
I knew you had something else to say. I knew you had something else to say. I can tell by the look on your face.
Shout out.
Guys, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... Say it again. Buscarini. All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens Bridge right now.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav.
Yeah!
Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We talked briefly, I should say briefly, we talked for a good portion of the show, just not to the extent that I would have liked yesterday, about the Hall of Fame and the new individuals that will be representing their organizations, and the talk of Vladimir Guerrero, and we talked about Trevor Hoffman, and of course Chipper Jones, but we also talked about those individuals who did not get into the Hall of Fame. And I think it's always, there's a fine line. You don't want to make, you want to make sure you're not focusing entirely on those who are not in, and focus on those that did get in. And that's where we're going to go with this next segment, as we bring in a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, it's always fun to get you on the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the time. I appreciate it a lot.
Definitely, Steve. And you sent me a piece that you wrote up about the Hall of Fame and some of the individuals that did not get in once again. Now, we're starting to see the numbers rise a little bit for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. They're floating around that 55% mark. This was the first time in quite some time that Pete Rose did not get a single write-in vote for the Hall of Fame. But at the end of the day, that's where the focus is, the steroid era in baseball. And while Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer, back when he was a 40-40 guy, before the alleged PED use, it still is tainted his, I guess, it's tainted. The idea of putting this guy in the Hall of Fame has tainted his entire career, and the same could be said for Roger Clemens. You agree with me on this. These two should not be in the Hall of Fame, nor should anyone who has either been found guilty of using PED use or where the evidence is so overwhelmingly in favor that they did, that we know that they did without saying so. I mean, you and I share the belief here.
And you and I also have the ability to look at things logically. I don't need a positive drug test to show me that Barry Bonds used some type of performance-enhancing drug. Based on the medical evidence that we know of the effects of performance-enhancing drugs, in particular steroids, we know the physical effects. We know the physical things that occur to a person's body. How do we know that? Because we have medical research. And unfortunately, we live at a time where we want to question things in medical. We want to question facts. We want to question the things we actually do know and can actually ascertain with our own eyes. I don't need a positive drug test to tell me that Barry Bonds did steroids. I can see that with my eyes. Now, to go back to players that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, because that's always the argument that they come up with. Well, Steve, there were guys like Hank Aaron and Jordan. There were guys like Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth. They all did bad things, too. They all did drugs. They all drank. They all were bad people. Okay, I can't fix the people that have been inducted in the past. I can't. But what I can do is point out that the people that I can control their induction, I will. And that's my responsibility. My responsibility is to point out that the people who did these things, the people who lied to you, the people who brazenly and who brazenly went out of their way, knowingly making their individual accomplishments bigger than the business of baseball, I can do my part to prevent them from ever getting in. You mentioned the numbers of Bonds and Clemens, both of them over 55%. I don't want ballots revealed. I don't want the names of the people who voted a certain way to be revealed. I like the secret ballot format. I want that to be kept intact. But I want those 55% people who voted for Bonds and Clemens and the 60% who voted for Bonds last year, I want those people to never, ever speak to me about integrity in sports. I want those people to never be able to have a lecture with me, or anyone else for that matter, about the integrity of athletes. Because you knowingly are allowing people and endorsing people who have no integrity, who put their own individual accomplishments ahead of the sport of baseball, and you're endorsing those people for induction into the Hall of Fame. You would not let that man near your family, but you're saying that what he did on an individual basis was acceptable to you. And to me, that's unacceptable.
Well, right. I agree with you 100% in what you said. And in talking of Barry Bonds, I've had someone tell me this a million times over the past 48 hours. He never tested positive. Look, he was found guilty of obstruction of justice and had an opportunity to answer a very simple question under oath and failed not to do so. That right there is all I need to know, Steve. It's that simple in regards to Barry Bonds.
That's it. That's all you need right there. And the same thing can be said, because his name will come up in 3 years from now, and that's Alex Rodriguez. It's the same conversation is going to come up then. Well, Alex Rodriguez never tested positive. Alex Rodriguez also had an opportunity to address this issue. He talked about it, but he never tested positive. He admitted to it and never tested positive. Yet people are going to vote for him. And Alex Rodriguez, I'll give him all the credit in the world. He is working very, very hard right now at rehabbing that image of his. How is he doing that? He's getting himself on both of the two largest television networks that broadcast baseball, ESPN and Fox. So he is working really, really diligently at rehabbing his image. I don't care. I will never vote for that man, nor should anyone vote for that man. And that brings up another topic, and I know we're running on time here. But the idea that 443 writers make up the Hall of Fame committee, make up the people who vote for this. Do you know who does not have a vote for the Hall of Fame? Vin Scully, Joe Buck, radio broadcasters, television broadcasters, sports writers in general. You have to be a writer, and you have to be a licensed member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Why is it not open to more members of the media? Why is it not open to more general? And again, I don't want public ballots. I don't. but I would like to see the role expanded a little bit so that we can allow people who actually do see the sport on a day-to-day basis. I would like to see a more progressive ideology or a more progressive roster, if you will, of the people who are voting for this.
I agree there, too. And going back to what you said about Alex Rodriguez, he's a very interesting topic. I did a research study years and years ago when I was back in college about the apologia tactics of Kobe Bryant and Tiger Woods. I compared how these two actually attempted to rebuild their image with the huge fallout in the prime of their careers. Alex Rodriguez has done everything right. He has pushed every single right button over the past 3 years to rebuild that image. And I'm really curious to see how those individuals who do have a vote vote. And I think another guy that you got to keep in mind as well, and he shares the TV with David Ortiz. Is David Ortiz a lock to get in? Because, Steve, at the end of the day, we can talk about Roger Clemens. We can talk about Barry Bonds. All it takes is one individual who has somewhat of a shady past in the steroid era to get into the Hall of Fame. And then, boom, the gates are going to open and they're all going to get in. That's all it takes is one.
And I have a solution to it that I propose with Pete Rose. And it's not a popular solution by any stretch of the imagination. I have a very simple solution to it. We induct all of them posthumously. We do not allow them to benefit from it. I do not want Barry Bonds to walk around promoting himself as a Hall of Famer. Oh, look what I got away with. Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
I will be happy to elect Barry Bonds to the Hall of Fame, Pete Rose to the Hall of Fame, all of them. I'll be very happy to do it when they're dead. And that sounds cold, and that sounds condescending, and it sounds horrifying. But I don't want Pete Rose, who we all know is going to attempt to financially benefit from his status as a Hall of Famer, because we see him doing it now because he uses the I'm not a Hall of Famer card all the time. I will be very happy to induct all of them, but not so much that not in the sense that they will be able to benefit from it in any way.
Now, you could make the argument a lifetime ban for Pete Rose actually comes to an end when his life comes to a close, right? I mean, that's a fair argument.
Correct. The lifetime ban ends, so he'd be okay. I'd be more than happy. I will be. I'll write his name in myself, but I will not let him in so long as he is alive, and that he will attempt, because we know he will, to financially benefit from that. Same goes for Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, all of them. Everyone who has been suspected of or has in some way admitted to or in some way but has the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame, I'll be happy to talk about their induction once they're dead.
Yeah, the Pete Rose topic is one that definitely gets a lot of people worked up on this show. I know it's an interesting conversation, but for me, it's as simple as this. It says in the rules, if you do this, it's a lifetime ban. Guess what? He did it. It's a lifetime ban. Again, we're being joined by...
He admitted to it.
Yes.
Signed the letter.
After 2 decades of denial and scrutiny and the dragging baseball's name through the mud, 2 decades later, this guy admitted to it. That's a problem.
So why are we having why does that conversation even exist to this day?
I agree. Again, our guest right now is Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He is the host of First Sports, and we're going to talk about that show in just a moment. Steve, if we go away from the Hall of Fame talk, yesterday was a very big day for the Milwaukee Brewers organization. They make not one, but 2 moves. First off, acquiring Christian Yelich. This is such a fascinating move, especially when there were so many other rumored destinations in the National League for him. Then they go out and they grab Lorenzo Cain. So, again, just a monumental day for the Milwaukee Brewers. At the end of the day, I got to apologize because last season, I think I had this conversation with you as well. I ripped David Stearns up and up because Milwaukee just stayed pat, made no significant move when the division was theirs for the taking. I mean, it was right there, and they did absolutely nothing to get better at the trade deadline. Bigger picture, the NL Central is going to be very entertaining. It's a 3-team race at this point in time, but the Brewers have now got to be known as serious contenders. They did a lot to beef up their offense yesterday.
No question about it. Christian Yelich, a 290 hitter. They didn't give up, they didn't give up a lot for him as far as I'm concerned. But again, I think also what you look at is the numbers as far as production is concerned. He's going to be not so much the ground ball guy that they used to have. And as hitter friendly as Miller Park is, Christian Yelich is going to be able to provide, I think, a lot more power in his position. I also thought the move with Lorenzo Cain was a great move for them. And yeah, they're going to hit their share. Cain hit 31 more fly balls last year, though, and he's moving to a great park for that kind of hitting. So I think if you're a fantasy baseball guy as well, and I know you do some fantasy baseball, you do some fantasy baseball. Those are two guys I'd love to get on my fantasy team if I played it. But those are guys who are going to be big impacts. And you mentioned the National League Central. Look, that's a division that the Cubs should dominate. I don't think there's going to be a lot of change. I think you and I talked about this the last time I was on with you. I don't expect there to be a lot of change as far as the division leaders are concerned in the National League. I think the Dodgers, with the return of Andrew Toles, will be fine. I think the Nationals are going to be fine so long as Bryce Harper's still there. I think the Cubs will be fine. But they're going to close that gap. That was a 6-game gap, and they were hot already in the second part of the regular season last year. But they just put themselves on the map, no question about it.
Cain gets paid. And the last time I had you on, we were talking about some of the major free agents who are still without a home. And this is kind of getting off the topic of Cain and the Milwaukee Brewers. But now Major League Baseball is considering a plan to band together to form their own version of spring training for free agents. I don't know if you're aware of this or if you read into this story. But at the end of the day, I mean, look, you got Yu Darvish, you got Jake Arrieta, we got Eric Hosmer, we got JD Martinez, got Greg Holland. I mean, these are some really notable names that are still unsigned. Now that the domino has fallen for Lorenzo Cain, I don't know what that means for the rest of the market. But are you a fan of Major League Baseball putting together their own version of spring training for those who are still looking for clubs? Because we know at the end of the day what it's about. It's not the ability of Darvish. It's not the ability of Arrieta or Hosmer or Martinez. The fact is, next year is a bonkers free agent period and teams are hesitant to spend money. That's what it boils down to.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily a problem with that. It's essentially no different than the college quarterback who has his own pro day, right? I mean, it's essentially the same thing. He gets to play in his environment. He can choose where he's at. He gets to hit in friendly ballparks. You can have. I don't have a problem with something like that. I'd love to see how XYZ pitcher would throw at a particular ballpark that's more hitter friendly or more pitcher friendly, or maybe a place is more strikeout friendly. I wouldn't mind something like that at all. I think that'd be a fun idea. And again, because a lot of guys are not going to have homes by the time, you know, April, by the time, what would it be, November, January rolls around, there might be still guys that are out there. So, yeah, take them down to Arizona in January. Have yourself a pro week where you have different batters, different hitters who don't yet have teams, and let them audition under their own conditions.
Steve Bordstein, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. I'm going to let Steve tell you right now how you can find more of his work. Steve, go right ahead.
And 3 seconds to say one other thing. One rule I do not want changed, I do not want a pitch clock in Major League Baseball. If you're too stupid to follow Major League Baseball and the amount of pitches that are thrown or the amount of times over to first base, stop watching baseball.
Hey, let me before we go into the end here, let me throw something else out there. I agree with you again 100%, which is part of the reason why I like bringing Steve on this show. At the same time, I had the same argument with people 10 years ago in college football. Remember all the rule changes with the clock that they made in college football because the games were lasting too long? Look, if you don't want to take a Saturday, if you don't want to take 3 to 4 hours out of your Saturday morning to watch a game, then don't. But don't screw it up for everyone else who enjoys it. Same opinion I have with baseball.
All right, my show, First Sports. Weekday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. That's 7 to 10 a.m. in the Mountain Region. You can hear it online via the iHeartRadio app, which you can download right now to your smartphone or wireless device. Again, the show is First Sports. Weekday mornings, you can catch it on our website at foxsports1340.com. Also, on the weekends, I host a horse racing show called The Fast Track, also available through the same iHeartRadio app. You can also catch it on our website at foxsports1340.com. Busy weekend coming up this weekend in horse racing. The richest race in the world is being run on Saturday. You want to find out more about it, tune into the Fast Track tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Time. You can also follow me on Twitter with all this fun stuff and more at Fox 1340 a.m.
Steve, it's always so much fun to get you on. I always enjoy the conversations. Thank you again. We'll do it soon.
You always get me riled up. I appreciate it.
We have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We'll break for just a moment. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 a.m.
In 5, 4,
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Zero name, no gimmicks. That's why I'm.
to wrap up this edition of Drive Time Sports, this week of Drive Time Sports, here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Hey, yesterday was such a busy day in the local sports front. I know we had region championships won by the Carbon Lady Dino Swim Squad. Both Emory Swim Squads won the region championships as well. Get your complete recaps of that at CastleCountryRadio.com. It's right underneath the local sports section. The Emory Lady Sport and Basketball team earned a big victory last night over South Sevier. And then we had the Carbon Dino, Lady Dino basketball squad. They got a win over Providence Hall. And then both wrestling teams from Carbon and Emory completed the region season. It was such a busy day in local sports. And we have it covered for you at CastleCountryRadio.com. So head over there and get your information and you can recap everything. Some great stuff. Congratulations to the athletes here locally who just continue to shine during the winter sports season. Now tonight, we have a big game coming up for you on KOAL. Emory is on the road to take on South Sevier in Monroe. It's a Region 15 showdown between these two squads. Carbon's in Region 14 play tonight as well. I mean, the high school scene is just loaded, completely loaded all the way around. So again, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com and you can get all your information there. We're going to be back with you 6:35 tonight, the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. Emory taking on South Sevier. Emory at 3-4, South Sevier at 5-2. Emory realistically right now battling it out between 5-4-3, maybe even 2 to get into that state championship tournament. They're fine in that regard, but now it's for placing, and it's the parity is just so unreal in this region. I'm looking forward to tonight's contest. As far as what you're going to watch over the weekend, I mean, what is it? National sports-wise, what do you watch this weekend?
See, hockey's on a break. We have the Pro Bowl, so college basketball.
Exactly.
That's about it.
NBA. Always have something with the NBA. We're getting closer to the All-Star break there. That stupid draft took place again yesterday. I went on two shows last night. I was a special guest on two shows. And both shows, both hosts, agreed with me and the kid that it stinks. It's stupid.
Dumb. It's a dumb gimmick.
Yeah, I you and I agree, and then I went on two shows, one in New Mexico, one in Colorado last night, and they both agree with me that this format stinks. In the tradition of the NBA All-Star Game, there's so many records, somebody standing, somebody running traditions in history, and it just seems like we're halting that.
We're catering to LeBron James because this is what he wanted. That's basically what it is.
Say it one more time for me.
We are catering to LeBron James. Adam Silver is catering to LeBron James, and it's sickening.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd give you a gold star if I had some right now.
Well, I don't know why we got to cater to this guy. I just don't get it.
I agree. I think it's all geared around LeBron James, and he was front and center last night. He definitely was. Out of time on this edition of the show. Coming up next, it's the Michael Medved program, and of course, we'll be back with you in just a bit. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.